40 hours above the blood. And the lymph is a liquid, I guess, that is the plasmatic fluid from the blood and also the interstitial tissue fluids from around the cells that are brought back to the blood circulation. So it's an open-ended system, contrary to the blood, which is a closed system.
Mm-hmm.
The blood stays in a loop. And as the blood passes through the capillaries,
mm-hmm.
it there's a plasma that goes through the capillary walls to bring nutrients and oxygen to the cell.
Uh-huh.
But that blood, most of it, well, not most of it, but a great percentage of it will not return to the blood circulation. And so it is reabsorbed by sort of an open vessel,
mm-hmm.
we could say, that has valves that are all around the cells, and it reabsorbs the plasma. And well, we call plasma when it's in the blood vessels, but when it's between the cells, it's called interstitial fluid. And when it's reabsorbed by a lymph vessel, it's called lymph. But it's the same fluid.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. And also what's really, really important with lymph is that it will reabsorb also a lot of proteins that have been pushed through the walls of the capillaries. And that's important that that happens because it gives great pressure, oncotic pressure, where the fluids will be dragged into the interstitial tissues so that nutrients will follow those proteins.
So it is helping to deliver nutrients that are in the blood into the cells?
No, it would be nice to draw you a picture, but if you could imagine the blood going through the capillaries,
mm-hmm.
and there's pressure just because the vessels become narrower and narrower and narrower, so there's pressure for the water and the nutrients to sort of push through the capillary walls to be able to go to the cells,
mm-hmm.
right, to bring nutrients. But also, your body will sort of let go of a couple of proteins from your blood, so that will help to sort of draw the nutrients and the water that are in it, the nutrients that are in the water, that the water will follow the protein, right, because
mm-hmm.
of the oncotic pressure.
Mm-hmm.
So that helps your cells to get nourished and to bring water.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about pressure. But the thing is that if your lymph did not take back those proteins from your interstitial tissues, you would die within 24 hours of shock, because your blood pressure would go down dramatically,
mm-hmm.
because the proteins in the plasma are there to help maintain blood pressure.
Hmm. So people with irregular types of blood pressure, can that be a lymph problem?
Usually it's not, though. Lymph is pretty efficient. That's why we kind of never hear about it.
Mm.
But it's part of what it does. So it is the safety valve of your blood system.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we keep the picture where there's this open-ended vessel,
mm-hmm.
that sort of brings back fluid, protein, but also all your waste. Like everything that your cells sort of discharge, but also broken cells, everything that needs to be taken out of your cellular matrix,
mm-hmm.
will be absorbed by the lymph. And then the lymph will sort of collect into bigger vessels and eventually go through lymph nodes.
Okay.
And those are like big houses of macrophage that are sort of like Pac-Man-like cells that will eat up the cells, foreign material, and also bacteria. And then as it cleanses the fluid, it will eventually bring it back to the blood as a cleansed fluid. And then it becomes, again, plasma.
So there's actually different types of digestion taking place in the
mm-hmm.
lymph glands?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And what is... In what way they act?
Well, there are stationary macrophages in your lymph nodes, and they sort of act with enzymes. Well, they will break up. They'll eat with enzymes. Mm. They'll break up cell walls, and mm-hmm. but also that in your lymph you have lymphocytes. You've heard of lymphocytes?
Sounds vaguely familiar.
Mm-hmm. They're your pretty great warriors for your immune system, and they will be activated by specific antigens, and they live in your lymph. Also, that's why they're called lymphocytes.
Mm-hmm.
And so they, if some foreign particle that goes through your lymph, it will activate a lymphocyte to say, oh, there's an attack here, and it will sort of there will be a whole chain of reaction of your immune system.
Mm-hmm.
So the lymph does many things. It is the safety valve of your blood, so mm-hmm. maintains good oncotic pressure. It is also the best waste management that you have for the cell,
mm-hmm.
and it is also a big part of the immunity.
And so, what causes the lymph fluid to circulate in the body?
pressure, different kind of pressures from your cell, from the blood, and also, but it's a very slow moving.
Mm-hmm.
Movement. It's very different than the blood. Just to give you an idea, the lymph collected in your toe
mm-hmm.
will take an hour to get to your thigh.
Wow. Amazing.
And heat and muscular contraction, heat accelerates it. And cold and non-muscular contraction, like in rest, it will dampen it.
Mm-hmm. And so, when someone comes to you with a lymphatic problem, what types of problems do you see in this area?
We could see specific lymphatic problems that are that stem from the lymphatic tissues. Like you have your adenoids,
mm-hmm.
your tonsils. So people with chronic tonsillitis or adenoid problems will. We see that in kids mostly with food allergies, and then they'll get inflamed and impair their breathing, and they'll get, chronic ear infection,
mm-hmm.
throat infection, stuff like that. So we'll help to stimulate and clear the lymphatic tissues with different herbs. But also there's people who have had cancer and radiotherapy and or removal of their lymph nodes, and they are very prone to lymphedema. And of course lymphedema is best treated by compression therapy,
mm-hmm.
and lymph drainage. That's manual drainage,
mm.
sort of like a massage, but some herbs will really help to accelerate also the lymph drainage. And so what we'll do is that with the herbs we'll optimize the whole lymphatic system so that we will alleviate the edema and sort of postpone also lymphedema.
Now what if someone has had this either the chemo or radiotherapy
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and or a surgery that's removed the,
mm-hmm.
the lymph node that's causing the edema in that area?
Mm-hmm.
And they've lived with that for many years. Is there?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that they've.
They're still prone to lymphedema.
I mean, can it be treated even if it hasn't been treated for?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. 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 And they might not get lymphedema for the first 10 years, but there's. This is more complex. It's kind of hard to explain because you need graphics to see like the changes in the extracellular matrix. But there's. They are susceptible to lymphedema, even if they haven't had it. So they must be careful not to to really optimize their lymph drainage, not
mm-hmm.
overtax them.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And the other thing with the lymph is that it doesn't really have a heart to pump it, like the blood.
Mm-hmm.
But the heart of the lymph is the diaphragm, and because deep breathing will sort of with the an inspiration, when you have an inspiration, there's like a your diaphragm sort of crushes your abdominal organs, right?
Mm-hmm.
When you breathe, or sort of, and so that reduces your intrathoracic pressure, and elevates your abdominal compression, and there's sort of a little pouch right near your diaphragm, and it's connected to the thoracic duct, which is the main drainage of your whole lymphatic system.
Oh, wow.
And so it's like it pumps that thoracic duct. And there are about 25,000 movement of the diaphragm in 24 hours. So deep breathing, sort of like it pumps your lymph. So we'll work with all the things that help the lymph. And that's also a bit of the philosophy of herbalism, is that we will optimize your system so that even if it's impaired in some places,
mm-hmm.
it will be able to maintain its function in a healthy way.
So if someone has had the lymphedema and mm-hmm. lived with it for something like 20 years, you can still do something with the pressure, the massage, the deep
mm-hmm.
breathing?
Of course. I've seen, not in my clinic, but people with stage 3 lymphedema, which is pretty huge, and it alters the skin, and there's sclerosis. And with compression therapy and lymph massage drainage, it's really the only way to treat it.
Mm.
They will have the use of their legs or their arm in a couple of years. Like it becomes. It will always be susceptible to lymphedema, but there's no impairment of the use of that member of your
mm-hmm.
either the leg or the arm.
And what types of herbs are used in these types of cases?
Well, there are different groups of lymphatic herbs. Some of them work more on the lymphatic tissue, so we'll have more of an impact on the macrophage.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, one of them is echinacea.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And there are others that really help to thin out the lymph, because lymph can have like the consistency of cottage cheese.
Oh wow!
It's really hard to pump when it's in that pitch. And that really comes when you, let's say. When you eat bacon or some really, really fatty food. Because another thing also with the lymph is another parenthesis. It's where you absorb your fat and liposoluble vitamins in your gut.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a whole role also in absorption with the lymph and nutritional absorption.
Are there different types of fat that make it more difficult to move lymph? Like
I don't know. I don't know. I haven't seen research on that. There is so few research on the lymph.
Mm.
And even when we talk about lymphedema, I've seen a lot of clients that don't really get the treatments that they need to avoid lymphedema,
mm-hmm.
Not a lot of lymphedema therapists, and even doctors don't really know how to treat them. Not all of them. In my country, and I've seen people in Vermont who had lymphedema and said, oh, my doctor just said, take care of that, compression sucks, but not really a whole thought out treatment to
mm-hmm.
avoid it.
And
so the different herbs that will help lymphedema are herbs that are really, really rich in coumarins.
Mm.
And coumarins will stimulate the macrophage in your lymph so that it, and in the interstitial tissue, so that it breaks up protein. And so it's reabsorbed more easily by your lymph. So it I don't remember the percentage, but it really heightens the lymph, pump. from your from the initial tissues.
And what types of herbs would be coumarin containing?
There's one that is called melilot, sweet clover. It grows everywhere by the roadside. It's a pretty common herb. And another one is called cleavers, and it's, for me, one of the best lymphatic herbs, and it helps to clear out lymph. The thing, so that's lymphedema. It's a pretty specific disease, but I use lymph herbs for a lot of different people that aren't necessarily, don't really necessarily have a pathological issue, and the thing with lymph is that we all have a bit of lymph or I would say tissue impairment in its drainage. We're all intoxicated in some way just because we lack mobility. We don't move a lot. And also we have a lot of toxins that are very highly toxic for the system, so your body will really store it in connective tissue so that it doesn't circulate freely in your blood and don't attack your heart or your brain. And and so it, you have toxins that can stay there for 20, 30, 40 years and almost all your life, probably.
And what effect does that have on the connective tissue?
Well, they kind of weaken it, but it's more on your cells. And those are a lot of the petrochemicals and all the stuff that your body really doesn't know how to deal with. Like I haven't evolved to deal with this thing.
So that would be things like that bisphenol A?
Yes, exactly.
And these flame retardants? And
Exactly. So we store them. And the thing is that they have an impact on the cell wall, on the everything. But the thing is that we're pretty, we have a lot of, sort of default system so that we're still alive and healthy and talking and, but sort of that overall impairment of our energy and immune system and what we see in everybody in this century. And so when we use the lymph, the thing is that it will take it would really help to detox deep tissues, deep connective tissue. But then that's bringing back quite toxic stuff into your blood, and then your blood will bring it to your liver, and so your liver has different detox phases to neutralize them, and then it goes into the bile, and then in your intestines, and then eventually to the to your bathroom.
I see.
But we have to take care of when you use lymphatic herbs to detox yourself. We'll pair them with hepatic herbs like milk thistle that will help your liver, and make sure that you're not constipated, so it's not reabsorbed into your system.
So the hepatic herbs would be things good for the liver?
Exactly. So liver herbs like milk thistle or dandelion or schizandra, or there's a ton of them. So I usually pair lymphatic herbs if I use that for detox with liver herbs so that I don't have an aggravation of the situation. I don't make the person more toxic because it was safely put away in their in the cupboards of their connective tissue.
So as you're stimulating the lymph, you have to be careful to not over-toxify or overload the body?
Yeah. And the thing with well, that's my point of view, and it's not, I would say, a medical statement, but I think that we toxins are also linked to emotions that we sort of store. So what I've seen in my clients over and in myself over and over again is that when we use lymphatic herbs, it's like we like what's stored in our tissues sometimes really, really old memories and old trauma are reactivated.
Mm.
And so people might get dreams that they had when they were kids, or emotional issues that they thought that were gone, but that are brought back up. But I think it's very good, so now you can deal with them 20 years later and evacuate them and get, and it's like a big catharsis.
Mm-hmm.
And it's quite powerful. So when we use lymphatic herbs like cleavers, it might bring on old memories. But not to be afraid of that. It's just that it was already in your body, and it's just finding its way out.
Would some people refer to that as the crisis in healing?
Mm-hmm, I guess. Mm-hmm.
With the echinacea, I've heard that it's used for strep throat.
Mm-hmm.
And so is it working in this way on the lymph or the...
Yes, yes. On the macrophage, on the lymphatic tissues of your nose and throat. Mm-hmm. It's quite efficient. And that's how the old herbalist in the U.S. used it for.
And when you're using burdock root for someone's liver, does it still work medicinally if you're purchasing a roasted burdock root?
Well, the thing is that I had a class in Vermont this weekend, and we talked about that, because I never really used burdock for liver.
Uh-huh.
I don't think it's very efficient for liver. It's a great detoxifying herb, but when you don't pair it with a liver herb, you usually get aggravation like boils or skin problem, because it's not very efficient with your liver. So I would use more the same thing with dandelion. When you roast it,
mm-hmm.
I think it is less efficient for the liver when you roast it,
because
it changes the sugars in it,
mm-hmm.
and you don't have that bitter taste also, which is so important.
So you told us about echinacea and the coumarins,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
the effect that they have. What about an herb like red root? What category would that fall
in? Oh, that's a great herb. It's one of the best. I would use it as with cleavers, in a sense that it is with cleaver and red root are the lymphatic herbs that I use the most. And red root is an overall, I guess, tonifying herb for your lymphatic system. And it, do you know a bit of Chinese medicine?
No.
Theories? No. Well, in Chinese medicine, you have the spleen energetic
mm-hmm.
system, and the spleen energetic system is linked to the lymphatic system.
Interesting.
What it's linked to. And when there's, the spleen tends to accumulate a lot of humidity, dampness, and so we will see people with excessive spleen dampness, with a lot of mucus, trouble with absorption,
mm.
a lot of what the spleen does, and sort of an overall feeling of sluggishness.
Mm-hmm.
And there might be some edema also. And so the use of red root is perfect for spleen dampness, all the symptoms of spleen dampness. And I will use also lymphatic herbs after cancer, so that your body is helped in all its defense mechanism. And red root is one of the great ones also to use after breast cancer.
Mm. Mm-hmm. What function does the spleen serve to the body?
And the spleen is a lymphatic tissue also, the real spleen,
uh-huh.
the biological spleen, which is different than the Chinese energetic spleen.
Mm-hmm.
But the spleen, that's the other thing, it's medical text. Spleen is like, oh, it's this purple thing that you can remove if you have an accident.
Uh-huh.
But it eliminates red blood cells after they've been in circulation for about 120 days.
Mm-hmm.
So it recycles the the hem and the iron of your hemoglobin.
Mm-hmm.
But it is also part of your immune system.
Where are the new blood cells generated?
In your bone marrow.
Oh, I see.
But the lymphatic herbs won't have an impact on that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. The, you'll use blood tonics that have an effect on the bone marrow, like astragalus. Which,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I was reading, I think it was in Sawyer's Herbal, which is a really old, eclectic kind of text, about using apple, different parts of apple, either the tree, the leaves, or the apple itself, I can't remember, for spleen.
Mm-hmm. Never heard of that. That's a good insight. I'll look into that.
I think Jim McDonald had something posted on his website about that from Sawyer's. But
apple and spleen.
Yes.
Well, what was it? Was it spleen enlargement, or...?
I don't recall, but they happen to have that book here at the college.
Okay.
So it's very good. What about...
One other herb that is not usually used for lymph, or many things, but it's one of my favorite herbs, is self-heal, that is so common. And it is, for me, one of the best herbs to use for the lymphatic tissues in the throat and in the nose. And one other thing with lymph is that I use it for problems for organs that are very affected by toxicity. And usually those organs, they have a lot of lymph nodes around them.
Mm.
So your thyroid, your gonads, if you're a man, the testicles, if you're a woman, the ovaries.
Mm-hmm.
So I have, there are my primary herbs to treat thyroid problems that stem from toxicity and problems with ovarian cysts also, and testicular problems also.
Now, when you hear a term like bad blood or scrofula,
yeah, mm-hmm.
is that referring to a lymphatic condition?
I don't know. Well, the scrofula, it was when tuberculosis got into the lymph.
Okay.
And because tuberculosis can go into the lung, but can go also into the lymph and would create what we call scrofules, which would be really hard little nodes. And big wort, which is scrofularia nodosa, is one of the best herbs to dissolve hard cysts or nodules in your body, wherever they are, in your limbs, but also in your breast, or people who tend to get cysts all around their body and their legs and stuff like that. I will use figwort, which is scrofularia, and also nose on your thyroid also.
Now, is figwort related to Celadine?
No.
Okay.
No.
And how are you using any of these herbs, the self-heal, the figwort, in what...
What form?
What form?
Well, depends. It could be tea, tincture, compresses.
Do you have a preferred method, like a tincture versus a tea, or?
Well, it really depends on what the client can do. Like
uh-huh.
whatever, like it depends for the even for figwort, it's really good to use it externally to help dissolve any nodules or cysts,
uh-huh.
and so you could have compresses, but it's really hard here to find dried figwort, or even fresh figwort. Let's say people don't really use that. And so I will give them tincture that they will put directly on their cyst or their... So really what... well, I guess because, like, it's really hard to find self-heal in herb stores, dried self-heal. A lot of the lymphatic herbs aren't used even by herbalists, so they're not... into commercial use, so finding tincture is easier than the dry plant.
I know of a person who has a calcified, I guess it would be a stone in their salivary glands.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we won't use lymphatic herbs for that, but there's this really amazing herb that will work wonders in a week. It will dissolve it, and that's, how do you call it in English? It's Joe Pye weed?
Gravel root.
Yeah, gravel root, yeah. Yeah. So any calcification in the body, even people who get vertigo because they have little calcification in their inner ear.
Wow.
It will dissolve it. And that particular problem, I've seen people get a really great result in a week for the calcification of the lymph. Not the lymph, but the salivary glands. And it's an ongoing problem. They'll tend to have that over and over again, so they could prevent it.
Mm-hmm.
And also by drinking horsetail tea.
And, well, I guess the thought.
And even for gravel root, because it's not written in books, but because I thought, oh, there's a calcification, I'll try gravel root.
Right.
And another thing that it really helped was, I don't know how you call it in English, the épindole noire that you have on your foot, you know, that you sort of like have a calcified.
It'd be like a bunion or a corn?
No. It's something that stems from your...
Bone spur?
Yeah, bone spur. Mm-hmm.
I see. Wow.
Yeah, and you can't even walk on it because it's really, really painful.
Uh-huh.
And it will dissolve it internally, yeah.
Amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're using something like that, then would you couple it with a lymphatic herb to help it get all the way out of the body, dissolve it, and process it?
Yeah, we could use that. But usually it will get cleared quite fast.
Oh, wonderful!
By your blood, actually, but it's hard on your kidneys.
Mm. So, what would you do to support the kidneys in that instance?
Well, you could use. I always use metal for kidney anything,
uh-huh.
But also you could use marshmallow to help because there will be a bit of crystals that will go through.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And
horsetail also.
So you wouldn't use the figwort on something like
No, calcification is not
different.
Helpful that much. It's more fluid cysts. But cysts also, that's a hypothesis, but it's a way your body has to sort of circumcise. You put it in a little ball, toxins?
Right.
Circoncire? You sort of...
I know what you mean.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's a way to sequester.
Yeah, sequester. Yes. Sequester toxins.
So with the things like the cysts and using the figwort for it...
Mm-hmm. I would use the figwort to dissolve it, but cleavers to help it, to help the lymph clear it. Because figwort doesn't give that much movement to the lymphatic circulation, but because it doesn't contain coumarins, but the cleavers will help. So we'll pair, let's say, for a cyst. So very basic recipe for ovarian cyst that has worked every time is figwort, cleavers, and milk thistle.
Wow.
And usually you clear the cyst within 2-3 months.
Amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I was thinking of a cyst that's on a dog, because
mm-hmm.
as dogs get older, some of them get
mm-hmm.
these, like, fatty...
deposits.
Deposits. And
mm-hmm. lipomes.
Can you use the figwort in the same way on a dog?
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
you'd make a compress of it?
Yeah, or just rub the tincture on it,
mm-hmm.
if you didn't have a fresh herb.
Now, we've been talking about lymph herbs for a while.
Mm-hmm.
We only have 7 minutes left, but
you
haven't mentioned poke.
Poke. Well, because it can be kind of toxic, so that's why I.
Uh-huh.
But it's like lymph draino. It's very powerful, and I use it.
Uh-huh.
But it's just that people should really get to know that herb before they use it, because
mm-hmm.
it can have toxicity that will accumulate in the body in 2-3 weeks. So really use low dosage.
Right. All the other herbal treatments, I mean, so many of them I see are like you're taking a dropper, 20 to 30 drops, and with the poke
it's 1, 2, 3 drops.
Yeah.
And the thing is that you won't use it if you have liver problem or any. So it's just, you know, with with on radio, I tend to give the safer herbs so that people can self-medicate them. But I mean, Poet is right, but just, you know, if you can talk to herbalists about it and they can sort of help you with the use of that herb, which is amazing. But there are other really great herbs for lymphatics, for the lymph that kind of have a bit of toxicity, like wild indigo and iris root, were used by the eclectic. But it's good to have a bit more knowledge on their use. But they're, you know, they're amazing. But there's also gentler herbs that I use with kids, like Johnny Jump Up, Viola Tricolor.
It's
a really, really soft lymphatic herb that's great when there's any toxicity, like eczema, and because I'll work a lot with lymphatic herbs. But there's so much to say.
Yes. So if you're using the Johnny Jump Ups, what part of the plant are you using?
All the above ground.
Okay.
So stem, leaf, and flower.
And we hear
same thing with salvia.
Sometimes you hear about the springtime is a time when your body is going to be cleaning out all these things from the winter. And so,
The liver is really activated in spring.
What is the role of tonic or lymphatic herbs in the spring?
Well, same thing. If you wish to detox in any way, I mean, there's the use of lymphatic herbs will always help to in the process. But in that, when you use it in that sense, it is so important to use liver herbs with that.
Does weather affect how your lymph system is operating?
Probably.
But it's not something that's been studied?
No, really. There's so... I was reading on the... It's a lymphatic researcher group, and they're like, please help. There's so much to know and about lymph, but also for any disease, like deep viral disease like AIDS and Epstein-Barr and the chronic fatigue, and there's we're barely coming to the understanding of our immune system, and lymph is so important. The thing also is that we're starting to understand more the role of the connective tissue and its role in everything, because it's not just a supportive tissue, it's an intelligent tissue that responds to hormones and the nervous system, and the lymph is the closest thing we have to working with the connective tissue also.
Back to the lymphedema, what herbs would you use in combination with the different therapies?
Well, the two herbs, the two really high Coumarin herbs, which are cleavers and melilot, sweet clover, they are the most efficient ones, I find, for the use of that. But, red root would be nice also, because it's usually overall problem. The other thing also is that lymphatic system, your lymph vessels, they're made the same way as your veins, right? And connective tissue. And so they can be more fragile as you age or because you have connective tissue problem. So I will help to strengthen the lymph vessels by using Gotu-Kola, which is the best for connective tissue strengthening. So it's a great friend of the lymphatic, even if it doesn't affect the lymphatic fluid.
Do you know of a connection between tree sap and lymph fluid, drinking sap as a lymph tonic?
No, never heard of that. You've seen a connection with that?
Well, I was just wondering because it's another kind of thing that's happening in the spring, and it's wild food that would be available to us.
Yeah, like overall cleaning will be really, really great. But for your lymphatic cleansing, the best is, first of all, to drink a lot of water, because you're changing your cell pool I guess, mm-hmm. but with your lymph. So if you don't have a lot of water in your body, your lymph will be very thick mm-hmm. and not fluid. So that's one way to help it. Movement, you know, will bring heat and help your lymph. And also movement will accelerate your breathing, mm-hmm. will deepen your breathing. So that's a really good thing. So those are the three basic things to use that are free.
Mm-hmm.
If you can get the herbs, just that will really help your lymph.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard about a thing called, it would be a lymph dance. And so this is something that you would do standing in place.
Mm-hmm.
And you bend your knees a little bit, and you mm-hmm. and you shake
and
your
you
hands.
You shake it, yeah, like African. Yep, yep. Any dancing, but this is great. Yeah, yeah.
So, any herbs that we didn't get to talk about that you would like to have mentioned?
Well, there's calendula. That's really, really great. Also,
mm-hmm.
it's a softer herb. So usually in detox, I start with a softer lymphatic, and then move up to cleavers. So calendula, Johnny Jump Up, Self Heal. There's also chickweed, that's a good lymphatic.
Mm-hmm.
There's ocotillo that grows in the south of your country, like in New Mexico. It's a great herb for lymphatic drainage, but also particularly the ones that are from the gut and the upper body.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Moore used it a lot. So those are the stronger lymphatic: figwort, cleavers, redroot, ocotillo, melilot, sweet clover, that are the base, the usage of that. And then there's very specific, the ones that we use for spleen enlargement or when your lymph nodes start ulcerating and and spitting pus, that would mm-hmm. be wild indigo, the ones we used before.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm.
And
you said that's one of the stronger.
Yeah, exactly. But you wouldn't use it for a long time. It's more
right.
like for an acute problem.
Acute crisis.
Mm-hmm, exactly. Iris, and which is toxic also. So, but the gentler ones also would be nice, just to help your lymph see and your lymph tissues be more optimal in their use.
Mm-hmm.
So self-heal. And self-heal is really good because it's vasodilating. So whenever you have lymph congestion and that affects your inner ear,
uh-huh.
so if you have vertigo, self-heal will be the ones that I use, or glaucoma also.
Oh, wow.
Which is related to the lymph.
We have
and
self-heal growing all over the place here.
I know. So I use self-heal. And self-heal also is an great antiviral.
Mm.
So deep viral infection, I would use self-heal. Also, and I have amazing results with self-heal. And I know, and we read it in the books. It's like, yeah, it's a nice herb, blah, 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 but it's pretty powerful.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess using those soft herbs, and then sometimes when you get the lymph going, and if you were highly intoxicated in your connective tissue, you'll get a sort of aggravation. Your lymph nodes will sort of get a bit more swollen. So that's a good sign. It means that, oh, that was a lot. And
right.
It needed to be cleared out. So breathing, massage, drinking a lot of water, and then continuing to use the softer lymphatic
uh-huh.
with the use of liver herbs. And then you can move to cleavers. And not to be freaked out if you have, you know, big emotions coming out.
Right.
As you do that treatment. And that's good also, because you want them to just move on.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So, Caroline, you'll be teaching at the Herbal Symposium this year?
Yeah. Giving a conference on lymph. Mm-hmm. And one on the reproductive system and the yin-yang.
And so if people would like to catch you there, is there any contact information for the
international?
For the international?
Yeah, they can. Don't have the website. Do you have the website?
Oh. I don't, but
you don't. So it's easy if you Google it. International Herb Symposium.
Okay.
2011. Great teachers.
This is a 3-day intensive?
No, it's the whole conference. Yes, it's amazing conferences. It's hard to choose.
Yeah, that, looking through the catalog, that seemed to be, that would be the biggest drawback about going, is you can't get everything.
And there was a resume, sort of, you don't say resume, but I'll post on my website, on my school, because I have a four-year herbal school, clinical herbal school, and I'll post the abstract of the conference on the website. So it's Flora Medicina, F-L-O-R-A, M-E-D-I-C-I-N-A.com. And I'll post something on the LEMS, so if people want to have some info, they could, and can't come to the conference, they could download that.
Wonderful. And is there any other condition that we didn't get to that you are just dying to talk about?
Yeah, I could talk about them for many days, but if people can just remember any pathologies that are aggravated by toxicity in the body, like arthritis, skin problem, degenerative disease, and any long-standing viral infection like AIDS or Epstein-Barr, mononucleosis also. And when you see kids that snore, that have a lot of problems,
sleep apnea?
That's usually related to food intolerance. So you can always help the lymphatic tissues with hers, but the only thing that will really, really help is get the food out of your diet. Well, thank you for giving me a chance to talk about lymph.
Yes, I'd love to have you back on the show again sometime. So thank you so much, and I'll be seeing you at the Herbal Symposium.
Yes.
Take care.
See you then. Bye.